Well, hey everyone, welcome back to Reclaiming Hope. This is Ben Hamilton, one of your hosts, and we've been away for some time, but God's been doing a lot of cool things and writing a lot of cool stories in the midst of that, and one of that has just been a shift in direction in this season. I just wanted to have and facilitate some conversations with various folks around the City Light Church family on topics that are particularly impactful in marriage, but certainly I think these conversations are for everybody. So I know that there's a tendency to lose hope or face some things, some challenges because of the unique stories that we bring to the table of marriage, family of origin issues, past wounds, all these things that can kind of come to a head in a marriage relationship, and we can encounter some difficult things that can cause us to kind of lose a little bit of hope and face circumstances that cause us to question and wrestle with, is there hope here, and what is it, and a need to reclaim that and have a new understanding in light of those circumstances. And one of those topics is around the issue of sex and intimacy, and I know this is a big one for a lot of couples, and an area, again, where we can just kind of run into some barriers, some challenges, some conflict that can kind of make us feel a little hopeless, and this is a topic that can be hard to even just talk about, because there's so much shame and emotion wrapped up into this, and often there is a lot of wounds and different things. And so, but that's why we want to talk about it. I think we want to just talk about and wrestle with out loud, what does it look like to reclaim hope here? And also just even uphold a story of God doing just that. And one of those is sitting right in front of me today. And I'm just so delighted to welcome to the podcast Kristen and Todd Richardson. And just thank you guys for being willing to be here, share some of your story, but not just your story, your wisdom, because this is a ministry for you guys. So welcome.
Thank you so much. We're thrilled to be here.
Yeah, thank you, Ben. We're excited.
Yeah. So let's just start. If you want to introduce yourself in any way, we'd love to hear that. But otherwise, I'm ready to just kind of jump in too.
Okay.
Just get into the story.
I say, well, let's just do it.
Okay. All right, Kristen. Awesome. Yes. I will say we've been married for 31 years. That's kind of exciting. Yeah. Three beautiful children, actually five now with married children as well. So, yeah, super thankful.
Good deal.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's see. So, since we're here to talk about sex and intimacy, we'll just start with where we started, I guess. In our relationship, we started dating in high school, so we're high school sweethearts. Yay. And I was a sophomore in high school. I was dating an older man. He was a senior. And
how scandalous.
Scandalous, yes. I always thought if I could only date Todd Richardson, I mean, my life would be complete. And so, finally kind of nabbed him up. And as far as our sexuality, we did not have much training at home. I had a little bit. Todd didn't really have any. And we started dating, and we started going to parties and just hanging out with our friends. And it seemed that, you know, kind of to show the person that you were with that you really liked them, you would just start showing them by sexual experiences, should I say. That was the little world that we lived in. Yeah. And so we were, I was really wanting to make sure I showed him I really liked him. And so I was very free to try to show him that through giving myself to him, my body to him. And so that was kind of where we started. And that was, we say that our relationship was skin deep because it really was. Mm-hmm. We didn't know each other very well, honestly, other than just that part of our relationship. And you know, miraculously, I mean, God definitely had for us to be together, obviously, because we really didn't have relationship with the Lord yet then. I believed in God. Todd didn't have any kind of upbringing in the church. And so, but the fact that we stayed together when our relationship was just skin deep for 6 years before we got married is pretty miraculous.
It is.
But it was, so that was our relationship before marriage, just a lot of sexual experiences with one another. And I justified it in my mind because I thought I'm going to marry this guy and so it'll be okay. And
I appreciate thank you for saying this just even at the outset of your story, because I think that's probably a lot of people's stories, mm-hmm. that is kind of the cultural just waters I think we swim in a lot.
Right.
That is normal.
Yeah.
And so, but. Yeah.
But yes,
yes. It can cause some challenges.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, so we got married and, you know, I already got him, like, okay, he's my husband now. So, you know, yes, I did it. And so we didn't understand any kind of value in our sexuality at all. And so when he would pursue that after we got married, I really wasn't that interested. You know, it was okay. So, I mean, yeah, occasionally, but, you know, you hear the saying that the enemy will do anything he can to get you in bed before marriage and then keep you out after marriage. Mm. That really seemed to be what was happening with us. And so we did okay, but our relationship was still pretty, it was just pretty shallow, I guess. And then we came to know the Lord. Both of us did surrender our lives to him pretty shortly after we got married, which was beautiful and wonderful. And God did a complete redemptive work. I won't go into all that right now, but we could keep you guys for days.
That is true. That's okay. It's a long story.
There's a lot, but I will spare you all the details. But anyway, God did a miraculous work in me. The Holy Spirit just took truth I had learned in my head to my heart, understanding that I was set free from the shame and guilt I had about our past sexual experiences before marriage. Yeah. And so I was really set free, and that was really exciting, but still didn't understand any kind of value around our sexuality. And yeah. In the church that we started to kind of just, what my understanding was at that point then was over the years as we grew in our relationship with the Lord and in the church, my understanding was really, you know, as a good Christian wife, you make sure that you please your husband, make sure you're doing, you know, you're kind of, you have a duty to stay connected to your husband in a sexual way and basically take care of his needs. And that was just what I believed to be true. And I wanted to be a good Christian wife. So I was going to do that the best I knew how. And I really, that was my goal. And so, you know, I stopped rejecting him in that area, but something was missing. We were having tons of conversation, which was the beautiful thing about our husband. Even though we started with just skin deep, God was really doing work in us as we grew in him, I'm sure, because we had so many conversations. I mean, countless conversations, hours and hours and hours of conversations, laying in bed, trying to just sort through what was missing. You know, there was like, he's not understanding my heart. I was not understanding his heart. We were missing each other in this conversation. And so we were just struggling, and we knew there had to be something more.
Yeah.
So lots of things happened over the years, and I was spending lots of time with young ladies, with married ladies, both single and married, and seeing the brokenness in this area.
Yeah.
And just, I felt like the Holy Spirit was constantly telling me, like, there's more, minds need to be renewed in the truth. And my mind, I was seeing that God was doing a work in my mind, but it was really one day, I was just having my prayer time. I was just in my bedroom as I would be, you know, on my knees, just praying and going through my regular prayer time. And just in my prayer, I just thanked the Lord for the intimacy that Todd and I had the night before. And then I was on to the next thing. But then it was like the Lord just stopped me in my tracks in that place. And he wanted to speak something into that, which was so beautiful. And that, so he just gave me this huge revelation. I called Todd. And I was like, I think the Lord just gave me a revelation.
And I said, write it down.
Yes. He really liked the revelation. And so I was like, okay, I'll write it down. And so I did write it down. And I don't know. Maybe at some point during this interview, I can share that, or I can do it now, or I don't know. I wrote down my revelation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should
go
I share
ahead.
It?
Yeah,
feel okay.
free.
Okay, this is March 7th, 2014. Yeah. In my prayer time today, I had a revelation about sex. As I was thanking God for intimacy with my husband the night before, the Lord spoke to me. The picture he gave me is that men have an overwhelming desire to be one with their wives, just as God has an overwhelming desire to be one with his bride, the church. When we as wives push away from our husbands and deny them that intimacy, they're being rejected, just as we reject Christ when we refuse intimacy with him. When we experience intimacy the way it is intended, there's nothing better, and we wonder why we would ever desire to not have that intimacy, just as our relationship with Christ is. When we're intimate with him, there is no place we would rather be. When we push him away, the relationship is strained, the intimacy is gone, and we feel empty. When we return to our husband, desire and admire him, what happens? The relationship becomes dynamic and powerful. He begins to share things with us, and we understand more of who he is and gain a deeper understanding with him. Just as it is with Christ, when we admire him, desire him, submit to him, and surrender to him, our relationship with him becomes so beautiful, rich, satisfying, and intimate. The oneness our husbands deeply desire with us is a picture of the oneness that God deeply desires with us. And then I just prayed, Lord, break down walls in women's hearts and in all hearts. And I knew certainly in my heart, because I had been struggling in this area a lot. So that was my journal entry.
Wow.
And I would say, you know, it was after that that I happened upon Ephesians 5:31-32, which says, as the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So when I read that and started just, I mean, that really, that verse ever since 2014 has been kind of the focus of our relationship and understanding our sexuality and understanding that, you know, this, I think God was trying to tell me in that journal that there's way more to sex in marriage than this physical act, you know, or anything I had been taught or anything I had known. It's so much more. In fact, that oneness in marriage, I know we'll talk about it later as we go on too, but that oneness in marriage really is meant to represent or be a picture of the oneness we have with Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you. Just that's so vulnerable of you for just to share with us what God revealed to you that day. That's so powerful. I was struck by something you mentioned in there, and then a couple of questions rose up in my heart as well.
Yes.
But just even the notion of thanking God for intimacy with our spouse. I don't know that I hear that talked about very much or taught. And I think there's just something even in that. So like when you talked about, I think at the beginning of your journal entry, that you were just communing with God.
Right.
And you were thanking him for an intimate experience with your husband the previous day. Can you talk just a little bit about that and even just the power of that in a heart and mind? Because I think, and the reason why I ask is I think, and just even knowing my heart and my story, we belittle sex so much that we just think it's just, it's devoid of any of its actual spiritual power and various things that we see confirmed in scripture, and that I think you were really, really shown that day. But and so we don't really maybe esteem the gift that it is and therefore miss the giver. In that very, so I just love to hear just even what led you to this place of thinking that was something that you should thank God for in the first place.
Right. That's a really good question. I think, you know, I think I knew where we had been. I think I knew, you know, the struggle we had had. And God kept bringing people into my life to show how much brokenness there is in this area and how hearts are so hopeless and so broken in this area. And I felt like, you know, I think God had just been, he had been showing me so many things, even through talking to other people and even through our conversations, where I knew there was more to it, you know, and I knew that when we did connect at that level, you know, God did something in the midst of that, you know, and I knew my heart had been hard towards that. I think, you know, in our younger years, I just thought, come on, you know, I am tired. Why are you thinking about yourself? You know, why don't you just love me, you know, without it having to be, you know, it's always something sexual, you know, just those kinds of thoughts that would go through my mind that I knew my heart had been, my heart was kind of hard, you know, towards him in some of those areas, I think. And then, you know, when God gave me that revelation that I just kind of touched on earlier too, of freeing me up in that area, I think my heart started really softening. And I could see that as we would connect sexually, so God did something in that where some, you know, things were broken. My, you know, we both were just more tender towards each other and softer towards each other. And I don't know, God was just doing something in my heart that I did have a thankfulness. I mean, I truly, I guess I don't know exactly how it happened or where that started coming in, but I truly was thankful. I was like, thank you. Maybe I was thanking God that I was willing, you know, that I was just like, thank you for working in my heart. It could have been, when I think about it, you know, it may have even been that. Thank you for working in my heart that I would be genuinely willing, you know, because it's a vulnerable, I mean, it's a vulnerable thing to give yourself to another person. Yes. But it is, I know we'll talk more about that. It's just, it's such a powerful and beautiful thing when it's done with the mindset of really the way God designed it. And so I think I really just was thankful, but it was literally, it was interesting. And Todd has brought that up before too, that it's interesting in that moment is when God gave me the download. And that was just the beginning. Like that was just a little, it was like he wanted to say, this is a picture of Christ in the church. Like this is a picture of me, my relationship with you. Like I want you to start seeing it. That was just kind of like, I want you to start seeing it. Because like I said, we've learned so much since then. He's given us so much more from that very start of that. And just, yeah, in both of our stories. So, but it was a moment of time where it was just thanking him and just going on to something else. But the Lord just wanted to stop me in that place. And I do think there's something really powerful in recognizing this is a gift from you, God. And so, you know, thank you. Thank you. This is a gift from you. It is something he designed in the garden before sin entered the world. And it was good. And so, yeah.
Well, I just think that's so transformative too. Because we often fall short of, you know, as we're partaking of and enjoying, you know, pleasure even through various gifts that God has given us to enjoy, whether it be a meal or sex or laughter or whatever like that. And we can stop there and just say, well, that was awesome, that experience, that thing. But I think what just touched me when you were sharing is you let that lead you into worship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, you know, even think about, what is it, 1 Corinthians 10:31, I think, you know, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all, you know, to the glory of God. And so even our sexuality and our sex in marriage, which we'll come back to that. I loved your statement about vulnerability and God's design. I want to come back to that. But so it's so sweet. Just thanks for sharing just what you were thinking and feeling, how that led you. What about you, Todd? Yeah. As all this was going on, what were you thinking and feeling? And
yeah, I just, like, what I was just thinking sitting here now is just listening to kind of that story being recounted by Kristen. You know, it really did just bring up so much emotion in me and so much thankfulness. You talk about thankfulness, you know, just thankfulness that I have a wife who, you know, wanted to know what God desires, you know, who wanted to seek that, who, you know, just kind of seeing that play out in her life while I was kind of going through my own process. Yeah. And those were parallel paths that took lots of twists and turns over 31 years of marriage.
Yeah.
But yet there is such a redemptive story that is in the midst of it. And so just being able to listen to that is really, really cool. And so thanks for being so vulnerable and for sharing that and for having a heart to help other people to realize these things. So, yeah, that's an amazing blessing.
Yeah,
my story has a lot to it, and it's hard to know even, Ben, where to start, given what Kristen just shared. But, you know, I think for me, there was a process that was going on at the same time she was going through her process. And the reality is most of the process that I was going through was going on inside of me in total silence. So it was going on in me. She had no idea it was going on in me. And it was, you know, this constant just battle in my mind that was taking place.
Yeah.
Around lots of things, you know, that just really distorted views of sexuality that really started at a very, very early age for me, where, you know, there was one event when I was very little where, you know, I experienced what I now know, what I would now view as sexual abuse. At the time, you know, I don't know that it necessarily, you know, felt that way. I was so little, but it was an event that occurred with some other kids that really started to form something in me that I knew the second, you know, that occurred, that it was something I was never going to share with anyone. You know, that just became something that was a secret. Yeah. You know, it was not anything I was ever going to share. Taught me to hide. Yeah. I mean, and it was at a very young age where it was like, okay, this is, you know, I need to hide this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, fast forward not really that many years after that, you know, I really learned, the next learning about sex was through pornography.
Yeah.
And so there was this next layer. And again, no one ever told me. I had no conversations about this. You know, no one ever told me, you shouldn't talk about that. You shouldn't tell anyone about that. But again, it was something that just instinctively, you know, it felt to me like this is something you just don't talk about. And so, you know, between those two things, you know, there really was a many, many years of me really being in total hiding. And Kristen having no idea,
yeah,
you know, that was going on. And so we're having all these discussions, these things that trying to figure out how to get on the same page. And, you know, I think she was probably sensing, you know, in the midst of all of that, that something's not right. You know, like there's something that's under the surface, but I don't know what it is. And I think that led to a lot of the, you know, kind of not being able to get on the same page with each other was because, you know, it was like there was this hidden side of things that were going on that she had no idea of.
Yeah.
And so, and again, this is a long story, but I'm going to just, I, there are a couple things, couple just points that, where God started to reveal to me that I could not remain in that place. You know, I could not remain in that place of hiding. And the first one was one day I was reading Psalm 32. It was actually there was an event that I was at. There was a little time where we were supposed to just have a little quiet time with the Lord. I opened my Bible and lo and behold, opened it to Psalm 32 and read that Psalm. And at that moment, it was like God was speaking directly to me. And I knew I could no longer remain in hiding with Kristen. And that just a little bit of that Psalm, it says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." And wow. That was like, that literally was what I was feeling, you know, my bones feeling like being in the silence, feeling like my bones were wasting away. And my, you know, just, there was this groaning going on. That's like, something needs to change.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's such a powerful, thank you for reading that Psalm. We talk a lot about shame. You mentioned the word earlier. Mm-hmm. And I think that's certainly what was going on here, right?
Absolutely.
Like in your story as well.
Yes.
We talk a lot about that on this podcast, but I think just some of the physiological effects of long-standing shame and things like what really jumped off the page to me when you read that was strength dried up.
Mm-hmm.
Just how much energy it zaps from you to continue to be isolated, disconnected, and alone with that shame. So, but God didn't leave you there.
No, God definitely did not leave me there. And so I knew, it was so clear in that time that God had said, you are not going to remain in hiding any longer. Mm-hmm. And so I knew I had to confess at least part of this. I confessed the pornography part. We did not go into the other area that I mentioned. So, I it took every ounce of courage that I had in me to speak those words to Kristen. Yeah. But I knew there was no choice, that I had to do that. And if I didn't, you know, I was number one being disobedient to the Lord, but number two, you know, I was really subjecting us to a continued place in our relationship of distance and you know, lack of intimacy. Mm. And we couldn't, unless those things were exposed, there was no way we were going to have that intimacy. Mm-hmm. And I shared that with Kristen. And I think, you know, so often when we're in hiding in things like that, the part of the reason we're in hiding is we have so much shame and we have self-contempt and we have these feelings that if I'm known, I'm going to be rejected. Right. You know, how could someone, you know, really love me if they knew what was really going on in me? You know, all of those types of thoughts that go on. And I would say over the years, I had probably floated, I like to refer to it as I kind of floated little trial balloons to see how they would be received, you know? And when those little trial balloons, when I would do that and I would get a sense from her of, you know, either disgust or whatever it was, you know, it was like, nope, not safe, you know? And so I would not share. I mean, this time it was like, there is no trial balloon. I know I need to share.
Yeah.
But I also knew instinctively that her response, and again, this was not on her, this was my issue, but her response was going to in large part determine whether I just went deeper into hiding with myself and my thoughts and my, you know, or whether I was going to be able to feel free to open up.
Yeah.
And I, again, just kind of listening to her story, listening to her heart, you know, for all of these things that came out so clearly in that discussion. I mean, obviously those things are not good to hear. She was hurt by that, but at the same time, she had compassion. She had curiosity, you know, as to what's going on. You know, she had a desire really to enter into the battle with me for that. So it was a response that allowed me to feel free to become more fully known.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that led, so then down the road a ways, I don't recall exactly the timing, but down the road a ways from that, again, I was in a, and there's a commonality to the revelations. You heard Kristen talk about her revelation when she was spending that intimate time with the Lord, seeking Him, asking questions, journaling. It's been the same thing for me all along this journey. Those are the times when I'm doing that, that I'm hearing, that I'm growing, that I'm, you know, that the Lord is speaking to me is when I am seeking that from Him.
Yeah.
And so there was another time where that was happening. I was just praying and journaling about, you know, there was still just these struggles that were going on inside of me and our relationship. And I was just asking the Lord, what's, you know, what is going on? Why, you know, why can't we seem to break through these challenges, you know, these struggles?
Yeah.
And what I heard so clearly from Him was because you are two fearful lovers. And I was like, What does that mean?
Not fearful in a good sense.
Not
I'm
fearful
guessing,
right? in a good sense. No, not fearful in a good
not
sense.
Fear of the Lord.
You know? Yeah, yeah, right. No, not that okay. kind of fearful. No. Fearful. Yeah, the other kind of fearful.
Yeah.
And so I just continued on in that dialogue with the Lord in, you know, in the journaling and just, you know, asked that question. The next logical question, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And the response that I heard was that I was afraid of being fully known and that Kristen was afraid of fully trusting. And what that meant, as I inquired further into it, you know, the fully known part was really, I had not still come to a place where I could reveal some of the things that were inside of me, some of the doubts, some of the, you know, the things from those early events. I'd never felt free to share those things because I felt, you know, shame, and I felt like there would be rejection, you know, yeah. if I were to share those things. And on the Kristen, the fear of trusting wasn't necessarily that she couldn't trust me, but it was that we'd been through this cycle so many times of feeling like there was breakthrough, and then, you know, I would be pulling back, and then we'd feel like there was breakthrough and I'd pull back. And so for her, it was this feeling of being able to, this fear of being able to trust that there was lasting change possible. You know, mm-hmm. that it wasn't going to continue just to be in this same, you know, cycle. And so the Lord said to me that day, I'm going to teach you how to be fearless lovers. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the journey we've been on since then, you know, because it that did open us up to be able to start to have some of those conversations on both sides of that, that really have led us to a place where I think we, you know, we haven't fully arrived. I mean, there are still, like you said early, we probably never fully arrived,
right.
but we're definitely at a place in our relationship now that we've never been before, where we do feel like we can be who we are with each other.
Wow. That sounds amazing. And I think like God's desire, right? Mm-hmm. Thank you for, giving us a glimpse of what you were kind of carrying and walking through all along. I think a lot of that will resonate with people, the fear of being fully known.
Mm-hmm.
I think at some level, probably all of us, I mean, have a little bit of that story in us.
Mm-hmm.
And then juxtaposed to the fear of fully trusting, I think that's profound.
Mm-hmm.
Just what a tension that I think can feel kind of hopeless.
Yeah, and I think, one other thing that was the Lord said to me that day, and that was the world is full of fearful lovers.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. And I think, but there's hope.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Well, yeah.
And we're made to be known. You know, you think about the very end of the creation story, the last verse in Genesis 2:25, now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame.
Yeah.
You know, that is God's design. And to be naked and without shame, to be known, fully known and fully loved. And that is what we have with him. That is what we have with Jesus.
Yeah. You know? And I think, one of the things that as we studied that more and more, as we've, kind of engaged in the ministry that we are engaging in, and we study that more and more, the thing that became was so, it was mind blowing to me. It was probably something that's obvious to people, but it was mind blowing to me because I had never really focused on it before, that all of this beautiful account of creation ends with what Kristen just read, that they were naked and there was no shame.
Yeah.
That's how God chose to end that description of creation. And then what you see happen immediately when sin and deception enter into the picture in the very next chapter of Genesis, you see the response, the very first response is, they covered themselves and they hid. So it's the exact opposite of the way it ended. Then there was this immediate, they covered themselves and hid. And God's response, which I think this is something that has really spoken to me over and over and over again, God's response to that, yes, there were consequences, right? But his initial response to it was he went to them, and he said, where are you? And so he said, where are you? And then the response was, we were hiding because we were naked. And God said, who told you that? And so, who told you that? And so, you know, the creation account ends with they were naked and unashamed. When sin enters, there's shame in hiding. And the enemy is continually telling us, you need to hide. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to feel shame. And that's not the voice of God.
Right.
That's never the voice of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His voice is always, where are you? Mm-hmm. You know, and who told you, you know, who told you that? Yeah. And I think if we can just even grasp that one little concept, that when we're feeling shame, to recognize that instead of running from God in that and hiding more and you know, disappearing away and thinking I've got to clean this all up before I can come to God, come back to God, recognize that, no, he's even in the, you know, especially in the midst of those moments when we're feeling shame, he's saying, you know, where are you? Mm-hmm. Tell me what's going on. Invite me into those places. Yes. Because it's revealing something that needs to be healed, and yeah, I want to heal you.
Yeah. And yes, and when Todd finally shared those things with me, you know, he shared the pornography, he did eventually share the experience, you know, when he was younger, and all the different things. I mean, the insecurities over his life, the lies he believed, all those things. The very thing the enemy tries to tell us is, oh, she can't love me in that place. Oh, you know, that's just going to, you know, I'm going to be rejected for sure. All those lies of the enemy, it absolutely did just the opposite. What it did was now I felt like I knew him. I finally knew my husband. I understood, you know, why the distance, why the different things, you know, and that it just made me love him so much more. Our relationship grew so much deeper, and I'm way more in love with him now, knowing his whole story, than ever before.
Yeah.
You know, and then you think about if you have children, I mean, if they're struggling, I don't care what my child is struggling with. If they're going to come to me and talk to me about it, I'm going to do nothing but love them in that place. You know, like, thank you for sharing with me. I love you. I want to know you, you know, and yeah, that's how it is with God. Like, when we go to him with all those things that we're struggling with, you know, that's the place where he just says, oh, yes, I just want to meet you there. I want to heal you. I want to show you, you know, what I have for you. And there's so much hope. There's so much goodness. There's so much. And so it's just truly,
yeah,
truly, you know, the lies that we believe that the enemy tells us, really, truly do a 180, you know, look at that in the opposite lens. And that's going to be the reality, is the opposite of what we believe to be true from what the enemy tells us. And
yeah,
God's, yeah, yes. So anyway, yeah, it's really powerful to share.
Well, just to me, it speaks to the power of abiding in Christ in marriage, because like if you weren't pursuing the heart of your father so much, Kristen, you wouldn't have probably been in a place to receive Todd when he stepped out in that place of vulnerability, taking that risk to receive him ultimately with the heart of the father. It says, where are you?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and comes looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Mm-hmm. So it just reminds me again, like so much of our intimacy and ability to navigate vulnerability well, because we all bring stuff to the table, is wrapped up in our need, first and foremost, to abide in Christ and be made new by him individually, so that we can be continually knitted together as one. And yeah, you're right. It requires being known, and praise God for that story of that he is still writing,
yes,
in your guys' life. Yes. Because yes, you know, he's still remaking you into his image.
Yes.
I want to circle back if we could, because I know folks who are listening to this, and even me, right? So I'm not, you know, I have my own story, but folks who are listening, there's probably a variety of stories, and so with that, there's probably a variety of questions that pop up when we hear something like this, and kind of some of these different places you guys have been in your relationship, and even these things that you feel like you've heard from the Lord. And so I want to circle back even to, because I know one jumped up to me when you were sharing earlier, Kristen, what God spoke to your heart through that journal entry that you read earlier. And that was this. So I heard two kind of questions. So one, if I may be so bold, perhaps from the wife perspective, who maybe just does not have the desire mm-hmm. for her husband sexually mm-hmm. often, or sometimes maybe not at all. Mm-hmm. And we know there can be a variety of reasons for that, right?
Right.
But then, you know, so to wrestle with the notion of, you know, whichever spouse it may be, but if right. one person has the desire and one person doesn't have any or much at all, and then you get into this issue of denying right. the other, and that kind of being somehow a picture of our relationship with God and mm-hmm. and some sort. And I don't mm-hmm. you said it better, but anyways, but just so what about mm-hmm. those who might hear that kind of realization that you had that night that you were captivated by, but maybe they're not captivated by it just yet, and maybe it makes them feel a little ashamed because they're like, but I just don't feel that desire.
Yes, and I absolutely understand, because that's certainly where I had been, you know, that's certainly where I had been. So I definitely understand that feeling. And, you know, it's interesting the way God works. A lot of times we don't even know he's working and what he's doing, but he is reshaping the way we think. And I think, you know, when we first started sharing things more a little bit more publicly, I definitely shied away from reading that journal entry, because something that, you know, like I had mentioned earlier, something that I had struggled with was, you know, I had that belief for so long that as a good Christian wife, I needed to meet the needs of my husband. So it really was out of a duty mentality, and it was out of, you know, just doing it for that purpose. And so that, of course, is not something sustainable. It's not something, you're not going to have a desire to give yourself to your husband if it is really truly out of this mindset of this is a duty that I need to do to be a good Christian wife, you know. Right. So you may, you know, depending on where you're at and your experiences and your past and just all the different things and how much you've healed, you know, it can be very difficult to give yourself to your husband. And if you feel like they, you know, I know the lie I believed often was, you know, if he's touching me, it means he wants sex. And, you know, and so, you know, just, I want him to love me for more than that. And does he, and, you know, all those things that you just start to dream up in your mind that maybe that's all, you know, he cares about. And maybe he doesn't really love me, all those things. So I get it. Women do struggle in those areas big time, including, you know, myself included in the past. And I think that, you know, God just started giving me personally, you know, I had mentioned that I did a women's study too with a bunch of married ladies, and that was the struggle. I mean, all these women loved their husbands truly, but they did not have, they really didn't have interest in having sex with their husbands. And so it was very eye-opening to me. I wasn't the only one that had been there. You know, there was 20 of us in that basement, and honestly, almost every one of them felt that same way. And so we just were trying to understand why, you know, why are we struggling in that arena? So we realize there is shame from past. We realized maybe we had been told, you know, that sex is bad, it's wrong, save it for marriage. And so then people get married and they don't know how to shift that mindset to suddenly now it's good and I desire this. And so just so many things that contribute to that mindset. But I knew that minds had to be changed, and I knew that mine had to be changed, and God was renewing my mind. He was just starting to give revelation and helping me to see that something powerful did happen when I did finally let myself surrender, you know, to my husband. And when I let the Lord into that and prayed through those things, I was praying constantly. And so I think as I would do that, my heart would soften and I would just see God doing something. And so I knew, no, it's not about a duty. And so I was a little bit afraid to read that journal because I thought, is this going to sound like a woman just has to give herself to her husband? And it's because it's a picture of Christ in church. And so that's just the way it is. Yeah. And And that's not, you know, in that time, that's the mind frame that I had. But God was starting to show me new things around that and changing my mindset, helping me to see that there is more to this than what meets the eye. And he has, yes, now he has completely. As I think, I really believe that as we start to get small revelations, so prayerfully, even, you know, your listeners will get little revelations of things that the Holy Spirit speaks to them through this. Because I think when you start to get, for us anyway, in our experience, just the little revelation around the beauty of God's design for marital sex, you know, I think God just gives more. So I would just encourage women and men to, you know, to seek the Lord in it. Because what happened then, my desire completely changed when I realized this is about way more than just pleasing my husband. I mean, that's not what it's about at all. And he didn't, for him, it wasn't like, that wasn't satisfying to him that I felt like I was just doing a duty to please him. That wasn't, was completely missing the boat for him.
Yeah.
And so when we started both growing in a new mind around it, where suddenly, you know, Todd's mindset completely shifted to a place of, I just want to love you, you know, and I don't want this for me. Like the selfishness in it started to really die, and the idol of sex and all those things. I could see that dying in him, the lust, all the things that were just kind of being washed away, and seeing his pursuit of the Lord in this and wanting it to be God's way just drew me to him, you know, and now we're in a place where it's like, okay, this is a celebration of our covenant relationship. This is because we are one with each other. And this is worship. This is like meeting each other. This is knowing each other fully and completely. This is, you know, all the things that it's like, why wouldn't I want to experience that with my husband? It's a total mind shift of, I'm not doing something just to please him.
Right.
We are coming together as one because we are one, and we're celebrating the union, you know, that we have as one flesh, as one, we are one, you know, as a married couple, and just as we are one with Christ. And when we do it with that mindset, when we have that kind of intimacy with that kind of mindset, then, you know, our lives are empowered to share more who God is. And you know, the intimacy he wants to have with us is such a powerful and good thing. The enemy has come to cause division. And God wants us to be so intimate and so close. And it's just one of those things that draws us so near. So I don't know if that answers your question. I was all
so
over
well.
The place.
Yeah, thank you. No, thank you for tying that together, Kristen. That was super helpful. Because I just know, like, those questions come up, right?
And 100%.
And I appreciate your vulnerability and even just sharing, knowing that there was that risk involved. But yeah, just I think the clarity you brought there to, again, not just become this transactional just relationship, but rather this entire mind shift about what is God actually doing here? What is this design for this? And the other side of that coin, you know, turning to you, Todd, is, you know, that I heard whenever, you know, she read from the journal earlier is, you know, from perhaps the husband's perspective, although these can sometimes be switched, right, in terms of desire and struggle with desire. But stereotypically, you know, the husband, you know, perhaps having the stronger desire in this case, hearing that and being like, yes, you know, so like that means I get sex whenever I want.
Right.
And what would you say to men who may have been listening with those kinds of antennas?
That's a great question. And I think there's so many things going through my mind right now, Ben, around the answer to that. I'm trying to decide which direction to go with that, to be honest. So, you know, I think that, you know, you can have the mindset that, oh, you know, great, I can have sex anytime I want now. But just like Kristen described, you know, what was going on in her heart and how that shift of purpose and meaning and understanding around God's design for sexuality, you know, changed her view, her heart, her desire. I think it's the same thing for a man. If my immediate thought is, oh, great, now I can have sex anytime I want because my wife knows that, you know, that's her responsibility.
Right.
Well, that does not, again, line up with what God's design is, in my, you know, in my opinion, in multiple facets. But maybe the most important one is, I think so often when we're caught up in a view of sex that's maybe framed by, you know, the culture, framed by pornography, framed by whatever, you know, outside influences they are, we think we have a desire for something that in the end so often just leaves us feeling empty and unfulfilled. Mm-hmm. And that's because we're missing the mark when we're looking at that as our target. You know, I just want to have sex all the time. Mm-hmm. If it's with that in mind as our target, it's so often going to leave us unfulfilled, even though we think we have the very thing that we think we've always wanted. And so what I kind of learned through this whole process, is when you think about what Kristen described, she's looking at it from her perspective. When you look at it from the perspective of what are those same verses in Ephesians tell us as a husband that we are to do,
right?
You know, what does that look like? And it says we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. You know, we're to give ourselves to her. We're to sacrifice. You know, it's not what can I get from this? You know, it's a picture of what can I give through this?
Yeah.
And so when we begin to have that mind shift, it starts to change how we view sex and how we, yeah. And so there's that piece of it. And then there's the other side of it, that the only possible way we can love as Christ loves is if we first are willing to essentially submit ourselves to the Lord.
Yeah.
In the same way we want our wives to submit to us. Mm-hmm. And that's what those verses are saying.
Right.
And so to be empowered to love our wives as Christ loves the church, we have to realize ourselves, how does Christ love me? How can I submit myself,
yes,
to him so that I can receive and experience that love and that intimacy with him?
Yeah.
Then there becomes a natural overflow from that leads into what Kristen was describing. And it's no longer about, you know, what can I get and how often can I get it?
Yeah.
It becomes, you know, how can I take that intimacy with the Lord, mm-hmm, love my wife, you know, in the same way? And the end result of all of that is it is so much more fulfilling.
Right.
So much more, it meets those deep needs within us so much more. You know, it creates depth of relationship with each other that we never knew was possible, mm, versus just meet my need.
Right. Because that's such a shallow, mm-hmm, telling of the story of what is really going on, mm-hmm, here,
yeah,
that God is writing,
yeah,
through your marriage, mm-hmm, through our marriages. Because it doesn't exemplify Christ at all, his posture and relationship toward, mm-hmm, his church, who says, you know, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And yeah, that's really powerful. Thank you for answering that question and those wrestlings, because I know it's hard not to hear it that way. I just honestly, I'm sure for a lot of men who just, like, we have a role to play here too. We have a need to be made new, like we both do. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of two sides of the same coin, like, to me. So
I'm also thinking, you know, if a man can see their desire in a different light, you know, instead of thinking, well, I just have this, you know, I'm quoting need, or, yeah, you know, just massive desire that just needs to be fulfilled. I think, you know, I think when we started seeing this in a really new light, and this might sound, you know, crazy to some people, but we really believe, like, if that is understood as, okay, if I feel this kind of passion, so I'm speaking from a man's perspective here, but if I feel that kind of passion towards my wife, that I desire so much to be one with her, or I desire to be that intimacy with her, you know, and think of that in a way of, okay, if this is me as a human with my wife, that kind of desire I have, like, thank you, Lord, that you're showing me that you have that kind of way more beyond that, but passionate desire for intimacy with your bride, us men and women, you know, like, he is so profoundly seeking his bride. He is pursuing us so passionately, you know, and I really believe that that desire a man has within them, generally speaking, it is really meant to be a picture of that, that passionate love of Christ that he has for us seeking his bride. And so I think if a man can start seeing it that way, it removes a lot of shame around that. Oh, I just have this, you know, you know, desire that maybe I shouldn't have or whatever, but starting to believe that this is actually a good thing because it's showing me how much the Lord's pursuing me, you know? And if a woman can see that in a different light as well, and just, it's just, it does kind of shift things. And I think we just really need to understand that we are made, you know, by the love of God, for the love of God, and to experience the love of God. And it's all about, it is all about intimate love relationship. And so it's the giving and receiving of God's love that is supposed to picture, you know, the giving and receiving of love we have with him. So it does shift our thinking, but it has to be, you know, we just need to take that to the Lord and ask him to show us more around those truths, and lots and lots and lots of grace, because we're all in process, you know, and we've had to extend a lot of grace to each other because we're in different places and different seasons. And, you know, that's part of the beauty of growing together in oneness. So
And these things aren't static. They're, you know, we're always changing.
Always.
And
forever. Yes.
Yeah. But yes. I'm just, as we kind of come to a close here, I am just truly captivated by the notion of just, each one of us, first and foremost, of importance is, being shaped by the notion of, God's love and Christ's love and pursuit for us. And then from that place being shaped in our respective roles or, you know, and our desires such that, you know, we move kind of beyond just superficial, shallow, just mere physicality when it comes to a topic like sex, but really gain a bigger, more beautiful picture, one that does move you to worship, because we see more of God's invitation and love and beauty poured out than I think sometimes what we settle for, and which often leads us into frustration and tension and shame.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Yeah. So thank you for just being willing to share your stories, just even pieces of them mm-hmm. with us, and how those things have shaped you, because I know every time I talk with you guys, I just grow more and more thankful, and have more hope myself. Mm-hmm. So as a guy's been married almost 10 years now, mm-hmm. but you know, just mm-hmm. we still have our own stories, you know, that we're walking through, my wife and I. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And you will 21 years later when you're 31 years. And, but that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the beauty of God's story mm-hmm. through us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
Well, just as a couple of just closing points of statement, I think, like, if any of our listeners out there are feeling particularly heavy, burdened mm-hmm. by this topic, I think mm-hmm. that might be a good indication that they need to talk with someone. Again, knowing the tension of maybe there is a fear associated with being known based on something that might be informing that fear right now. But even if they just feel stuck, I know these are conversations that sometimes we think we can't have in the church, but, you know, certainly around our church and our church family, these are conversations we want to have and we need to have. We need to be having this as a community of faith. And so I want to encourage you, if you are discouraged, burdened at all by any aspects of this conversation, to then reach out and start one, find a friend that you trust, a pastor, a counselor, mm-hmm. And just kind of start taking steps into the light, trusting that through that vulnerability, that freedom and hope kind of can become possible to be reclaimed. And yeah, and I just look forward to more conversations, and maybe we'll get to do this again and talk about, I know there's so many different layers and things, and I'd love to just, y'all just teach us, you know, just more and more. So I know there's other conversations that we could have. So Lord willing, for a future date, but
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Ben. Thank you for what you're doing here. And we just so appreciate having the opportunity to sit down and talk with you about this.
Yep. Grateful to know y'all. All right. God bless. We'll talk to y'all soon.